As we recall last week's message, I talked about the fact that Christ is the only solid foundation, and that what happens a lot of times, and just to refresh your memory, as we did go to Matthew chapter 7, where Jesus talked about the house built upon the rock and the house built upon the sand, and it talked about the storms of life. And I made this statement, is the storms of life are not always, our life is not a continual storm, and we need to realize that. But there comes times in our life where the storm is especially foundation shaking, and I think that's where we're at. I think that's where we're at in our world today. We pray for peaceful times. We pray for times in our life where things are peaceful in our own personal lives. But you have to admit there are times where things are peaceful, and then there are times where the storms of life come. So that's basically what I talked about last week. I said it in a whole lot longer time and a whole lot more stories. Now this week, though, I want to talk about this idea of being a wise builder. And this takes it in a different direction. And I'm just going to jump right into it because I think that Paul says it the best. And number one is this. It is by God's grace we are able to minister. And we start with this idea. If I am to be a wise builder, I need to understand several principles. And the first principle is this. Is we have to understand is that our world today places an awful lot on personality and power and presence. And, you know, boy, that guy has a great radio voice, right? You ever hear those people have great radio voices? I always thought that, James Montgomery Boyce had I just enjoyed listening to his voice on the radio. And it was just one of those things. But you do realize this, is that we need to do this. We need to take and clear the table off of all of that, because it is solely by the grace of God that you and I are included in this idea of being a builder. Let's look at the passage where he says this, is that according to, and Paul states it very clearly, you do not have to hunt through the passage. He starts off, according to the grace of God which is given unto me. Now, I found this in a commentary, and I want to read it to you because I think it explains it very well. Paul, first of all, acknowledges that anything he has been able to accomplish has been due to the grace of God. By this, he means the undeserved ability from God to do the work of an apostle. Then he goes on to describe his part in the beginning of this assembly at Corinth. As a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. He came to Corinth, preaching Christ and Him crucified. Souls were saved and a local church was planted. And what I'm trying to do here is to be true to the text. I want you to understand what the text says. The Word of God says this, is that, okay, Paul went to Corinth, he preached Christ, they got saved. What did he do? He laid the right foundation. And now he was encouraging those who were coming behind him to do likewise, that they were to actually, and getting ahead of my message here, is that they were to approach it with a caution. They were to approach it with the idea that they could indeed mess up. That's why he uses the word beware. But I thought it was interesting. Now, we look and we say, okay, it was he did the work of an apostle. I'm not supposed to be doing the work of an apostle, because if we understand the scriptures, we teach that the office of apostle was closed. Okay? We understand that. But it does apply to all of us. And let me talk about this application that I've come up with in this first point. The application to us is this. It is by the grace of God that we are able to do the things that we do. Now, I know those are real simple words, and I don't have big flowery words, but think about your participation in life, first of all. Your participation in life. It is solely by the grace of God. I can remember D.L. Moody saying when he saw a person, and if you ever get a chance to go to your cities, your bigger cities, I know Sunbury is a Class C city, if you go to bigger cities, I can remember going to Chicago the first time with Karen and I, and we went to see the Sears Tower, and across the street, right across the street from the Sears Tower, was a doorway that was built, you know, where you actually stepped like maybe 3-4 feet before the front door was there, and there laid a drunk in there sleeping off something, and this was 11 o'clock in the morning, okay? And so, and we might go, oh, but it was D.L. Moody that would say, it is by the grace, if it weren't for the grace of God, that would be me. Amen? Absolutely. And so the application, first of all, to us is that it's by the grace of God that we do the things that we do. The opportunities that are afforded us, those are all by the grace of God. Your life, my life, is not an accident. Okay? Now, if I've not taken advantage of opportunities, maybe I've wasted opportunities. But I want you to see this. What the church that meets on the corner of 4th and Chestnut was established by the grace of God. Amen? I read that in your history. I see that. Much like the work in Corinth was established by Paul, and he credits the whole thing to the grace of God which was given to him. And mark it down. We need to credit to God what He is doing in and among us. Amen? Boy, that didn't sound very convincing. Sounded like, amen. Okay. We live in a culture where the church has been invaded by marketing techniques and big personalities. And I'm here to say this. I believe that that has damaged the church more than it has advanced the church. Amen? This church is not to be built on the personality of people. It needs to be built on the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only solid foundation. See, what the world calls a success might just be a failure in God's eyes. If we measure success by the amount of people that sit in our pews, then let's change the way we fill our church up. It would be astounding to you if I listed different prominent people in our nation today that has built their churches on meeting with PR companies to teach them how to put out a good PR image. In the world's eyes, they would look very successful. But let me remind you, if you want to turn over just quickly this morning to Revelation chapter 2 and verse 4, where the Lord Jesus Christ says about the church at Ephesus, when you read what He says to them, that they were, in the world's eyes, a very successful church. But He says this in verse 4, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." And He says this in verse 5, "Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent." That's how important it is that we take this passage that Paul is teaching to the church at Corinth, that they need to be a wise builder. We need to live our lives as Christians wisely, not a world's wisdom, a biblical wisdom, because that's what he's talking about here. Because remember now, the first chapter of 1 Corinthians, he says that the world's going to look at us, and you know what? They call what I'm doing right now foolishness. And to the religious people around that are lost, it's a stumbling block. So the unsaved world says it's foolishness. To the religious unsaved, we are a stumbling block. That's what he says. And he's only bringing it to the, he's only continually teaching here. Now, number two is this, is as we follow this, living our lives is compared to building on the foundation. Another buildeth thereupon. That's in verse 10 again. That's according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereupon. The immediate text teaches, and we're talking about the people of Corinth, that they were to teach the scriptures and continue the work at Corinth that Paul began. But another application to the passage is that we are building on the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ with our lives. And I talked about that last week, and I used the illustration of Herbie building in his life and how he came to faith in Christ, okay? And I don't think I'm robbing the text, or I don't think I'm trying to take a square peg and pound it in a round hole by looking at another application by saying, hey, this is our lives. Your life, my life, is always doing something. We are either advancing the kingdom or we are becoming a poor testimony. Amen? And that doesn't mean that we go into Walmart and announce, I'm there, and you know how I did last week, and that was kind of comical about that. But it's like this, is that, well, let me just draw it up this way. When's the last time that I thought that my life counted for something? According to the kingdom of God. Now think about that for a moment. Just let that just roll over you. When's the last time that I thought that it does matter in the community where I live that I desire to glorify God with my life? And once again, now let's look at it from a comical standpoint. That doesn't mean I walked out on my patio this morning. And if you were at our house, you'll see we have a nice little quaint patio out back. It has a couple cracks in it and all that. But we got two nice shade trees and we have all kinds of squirrels and birds. And the biggest squirrel lives in the house. Okay, I understand that. But you know what? I don't walk out back and say, hey, Freeburg, I love Jesus. Just want you all to know. No, didn't do that. But I can tell you this week, it was so incredible. My neighbor's having some health issues, and his wife hollered down. And hollered. Do you see how I say those words? Yeah, that's Pennsylvania Dutch. Hollered. Hollered across the, Dave, can you come up here? Well, I seen her husband sitting there. I thought he was having a heart attack or something. So sure enough, man, I dropped everything and went up. Well, he wasn't having a heart attack. She just wanted me, and I'm doing something for his son, and he was gathering some supplies. And make a long story short, we got talking, and he was best friends with my father. Best friends with my father. Made sauerkraut. And so I had a chance to share with him how Dad got saved 16 days before he died. Of course, you've heard that story, and you'll get tired of hearing that story. He was crying. And I thought to myself, there's so many times where I wanted to take my neighbor and take him through the plan of salvation just so that I could know that he knows what I'm thinking about when I talk about salvation. And I was crying, and I looked over, and he wasn't looking at me, but he was crying. And I'm thinking to myself, and I come home, and I was just rejoicing that it wasn't like I had to go up there and say, okay, Joe, I'm here on a mission. I got to tell you about Jesus because I don't want you to die and go to hell. It was just a natural because he was talking about my dad, and I was talking about how we miss him and all that. I walked away from there thinking, wow. You know, just when I struggle thinking that God can't do stuff, God does some pretty incredible stuff in my life. It's just like, hallelujah. That's incredible. And of course, I talked about you a little bit, Glenn, too, you know. So anyways, let me get a drink here. I'm really dry because now when I take a drink, what I'm going to say after this, it's all a lie, right? That's what Judge Judy says. Okay? And we certainly can't get her mad. See, now, living our lives is compared to building on the foundation, right? Okay? Now, in case you think I'm trying to pound this into the wrong thing, you remember this, Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount that our lives are like a candle in a room shining to all who are in the room, and that we're not supposed to cover it up with a basket. Also, Jesus, in that same passage, taught that our lives are like a city on a hill that they can see from afar off. And then Paul taught that our lives are likened to an athlete training for an event, and even the procedure and training was considered in the event. That's 1 Corinthians 9:24, where he says this in verse 24. I won't read the rest of the passage, but he says this: Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that you may obtain. And he talks about this idea of this sporting event and how important the training is. Paul also used the same analogy in his letter to the church at Philippi, where he says, I press toward the mark in Philippians chapter 3. So I've not isolated one passage and said, oh yeah. No. Living our lives is compared to building on the foundation. Living our lives is an appropriate application for that. So number three is the caution is to be careful. The caution is be careful how we build on the foundation. Look what he says. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. It's important how we live. Decisions we make have consequences in our lives. And that's just, watch this. It's just not for the young people in the room. It's for every station of life in which we find ourselves. And I'm finding now that, you know, if you fill these surveys out, and at first it's you're all the way on the left, you know, you're 18 to 25, click. I'm almost all the way over on the right now. And as I go through those, I'm thinking to myself, man, I'm getting farther to the right. I'm going to have to soon get my own box at the other side and make it myself, right? No, what that ought to remind every one of us is this, is that I am always faced with choices of how I am going to live my life. And it doesn't matter whether I'm 10 years old, 20 years old, 30 years old, 40 years old, 50 years old, and 60 plus, that I can still make wrong decisions. I can make right decisions. Amen? And that's what it's about. Because my life is building on that foundation regardless of where I live or where I am. You say, well, what happens? I'll tell you what. When I first went to Bakerburg, there was a guy that was taught theology at Practical Bible College. And his name escapes me right now. So I could run up and get the book, but you don't want me to be out of breath. But anyways, I had the opportunity. He filled in for me preaching when I was on vacation one time, and he left a signed book there, and I called him and thanked him for it, and he said, oh, I'd love to sit down. He was in his 80s filling the pulpit like that. Well, he had a stroke, had to go into Broad Acres Nursing Home. You might say, well, then he's done. He's done. You know what his attitude was at Broad Acres? He put together a little Bible study. And they left him do it in the thing. He would come to my church service that I would hold on Tuesday afternoons. But he, you know what? He wasn't done with his life. And he was having a Bible study. You know why? Because he loved the Word of God. He thought that his life every day when he got up meant something for the kingdom of God. Amen? Yeah, I thought that's incredible. And it was years and years and years that he was not a professor at Practical Bible College. B.J. Smith was afflicted with MS in her 30s in the military, ended up in a wheelchair, and she ended up being in Broad Acres for at least 30 years of her life, and she led countless people to Christ that were her roommates because she so loved Jesus. And I had the privilege of meeting her. She had to be fed pureed food because she was choking. And you know what? I would sit in her room and her sister would be there that was one of the hairdressers. We had fine fellowship. And as soon as she got a new roommate, she would witness to these people. She would come out to my service and I'd look at her and I'd say, BJ, quit winking at me. And she'd go, I ain't winking at you. And so we had just had a wonderful time. What a celebration of life when she went home to be with the Lord. But you know what? She took her life seriously. Are we taking our lives seriously? That's all I'm asking. I got to ask Dave Dressler that, because I can become very comfortable just being a pastor of a church. Amen. You heard Larry. I'm busy. But you know what I think about that? Every one of us are busy. Come on now. Amen. Oh, yeah, we're busy with life. Every one of us has demands on our life, do we not? Come on now. Amen. Okay. Okay. Yeah. So you haven't convinced me. So the first part, why consider God's word and his principles to guide my building? See, that's what we're talking about. When we talk about this caution of being careful, what does it mean? Well, I need to get on the phone to the pastor. Hey, Pastor Dave, you know, what do you think? Oh, I got the phone here. I got the phone right here. Okay. Hey, Pastor Dave, you know, what do you think if I do this? What do you think if I do that? No, here's the thing. Am I willing to consider God's word and his principles to guide my building? Amen? You know, when the malls used to be open and when there used to be stores in the mall, one of the most distressing things in the world is to watch life change in front of us, is it not? You used to go to the Susquehanna Valley Mall, not to shop so much, but to see people. I can remember there was this lady when we were at Bible Baptist Church. She would go down and she would sit in the center part of the mall, and she was retired, not working anymore. And she was just sharing the gospel with whoever would sit and sat down next to her. Isn't that incredible? Yeah, because that was how she considered how she would apply God's principles to her life. That doesn't mean that we all go down there and sit. Hey, look at that. We got 15 people from First Baptist sitting around the mall. Look at that old person. Jump on them! Yeah! Right? Let's do it. Okay. Now that'll get out on the internet and say, that guy's nuts. I could have told him that, so. The next thing is this. Is the Word of God simply a suggestion to be followed when it's convenient, or is it, as the psalmist stated, a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path? See, what we're doing is this, is that the Word of God is not supposed to be an advisor in my life. It is supposed to be the guide in my life. Amen? A lot of times, you know, watch this. Maggie, I'm going to help you out here a little bit, VBS, okay? She's got to give me a thumbs up. See, we planned this. We talked about this for 3 days. There's like 700 texts. Watch this. If I don't have anything else better to do, I'm going to help with VBS. Let's put it at the top of the list. Let's say this. Wow, I have the opportunity to serve. Now, I know what you're going to do is, oh, I know, I can't go to her now because she'll think that he did that because of that. Oh, yeah. Okay, so I'm sorry. No, but here's the thing. Sometimes we got to be reminded that God is not the last at the bottom of the list for things to do in my life. Come on now, amen? As a matter of fact, if there's anything, it's supposed to be at the top of the list in my life. Come on, can I get an amen? Or can I get an oh my? Because that happens to me. This one guy used to call me up all the time and say, he had all the toys. He had four-wheelers, he had snowmobiles, and he called me up and say, hey, you know, do you want to go snowmobile tonight? Then I found out that I used to think, wow, why does he call me all the time? Then I found out that he didn't call me all the time. He called all his other friends. I was the last on the list. And when his friends got tired of him calling, he finally got down to me, and it's just like, oh. Okay, so it is important. The pastor shows up being important somewhere, right? If he's on the internet, hears this, he'll call me, but he'll know. He'll know that I know now. Okay, number four is this. As we get through this message, and if this clock's right, it's about 28 after. Is that what time it is? Yep, 27 after. Hey, look at that. A day is appointed to manifest our works, and that's the judgment seat of Christ. That's what Paul's teaching here in this passage. And I find it interesting is that, and that's verse 13. That's the verse that I had for the, let me get my Bible here. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work to sort what it is. Now what we do is, he has just got done talking about, and there is some disagreement about the gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. Okay? I will say this, what I believe about that. Now listen, because it can be up for debate. But I would say, I'm pretty safe by saying gold, silver, precious stone is that which lasts. Jesus talked about that, laying that treasure up in heaven where moth and rust does not corrupt. The wood, hay, and stubble are, and those would be considered eternal and permanent. And the wood, hay, and stubble would be things that would be talking about stuff that burns up and it's temporary, okay? Now, you can divide those categories. Some think it's some good, solid Bible teaching would be for the church, which was gold, silver, precious stones. And the wood, hay, and stubble for the church would be the teaching that didn't quite measure up, okay? I think Warren Wiersbe lists that. I mean, that's the first time I read that. I thought, wow, okay, that's possible. I've always took the application as this, is that there's works in my life that are eternal, and then there's works in my life that are temporary, okay? And I will say this, it seems like the temporary stuff in our lives always cries the loudest, and the eternal usually is like a still small voice. Amen? Can I get an amen there? And what I want us to realize in this is that, first of all, that there is coming a day where we will all stand before God. This is a great passage for the security of the believer, because it goes down and it says that, no, we're not going to go to hell if we've been remiss, okay? It does say this, is that we will be saved so as by fire, okay? But what I want us to realize, and this is called the judgment seat of Christ. The place where the unsaved go is the great white throne judgment, okay? If you're at the judgment seat of Christ, you got it, okay? But there's other things to talk about there. But really, let me make sure I got my notes. The day refers to the judgment seat of Christ when all service for the Lord will be reviewed. The process of review is likened to the action of fire. Service that has brought glory to God and blessing to man, like gold, silver, and precious stones, will not be affected by the fire. On the other hand, that which has failed to edify or glorify God will be consumed. The fire will test each man's sword to what it is. And so, what it comes down to is this, whole idea of the scriptures teach me is that I'm not supposed to be like that hound dog laying on Jed Clampett's front porch. I have a life to live. And how am I going to live it? What am I going to do? Every day I get up, I have opportunities before me. I have opportunities to choose. Some are long-term opportunities where I commit myself for something, you know. But every life for the believer is worth living. That's what it comes down to. God's Word is not supposed to be just a convenient thing in our life every once in a while. But I need to be a wise master builder. Not because Dave Dressler told you, but because the Word of God says we're supposed to. The foundation's right there. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. What am I going to do with it? Let's pray.